Hey, everybody, it's the Great Debates Podcast. Welcome back to the show.
I see fear in your eyes, Dave. That's what
I usually, as you know, we like to jump right into it, but you've got a whole different look. Say you've got a hoodie and a hat, and I can only see like your eyes. And
what does the hat say?
Make America debate again.
Right. This is our Trump style hat that you can get if you submit a topic that we use on Great Debates.
Okay.
It's the only way to get one.
I'm getting kind of anxious because we haven't started debating.
Jump
yet.
In.
Let's do it.
Do you guys want to do one?
Yeah.
Okay. I've got a top for you. Healy takes the pro. Micro debate, 3 minutes on the clock. It would be worth it to be killed by Bigfoot.
Well, of course it would. I'm Steve Healy, and I'm taking the pro. Every man or woman on Earth will die, but very few will live forever. And the person who is killed by Bigfoot, their name will live forever. What's more, they will have given a gift to the world, the gift of the discovery of Bigfoot, because the first person to encounter Bigfoot is probably going to get killed by Bigfoot. And the news of Bigfoot's discovery will fill the Earth's people with a sense of wonder and the undiscovered possibilities out there in the world. It'll be great news for everybody when they discover Bigfoot. If the cost is somebody has to get killed, that's fine. It would be worth it to be the person who gets killed by Bigfoot to bring that joy to the world.
You're taking such logical liberties here. Okay, we're going to dispense with the idea that Bigfoot... I'll play along. Bigfoot exists, okay? We're operating under that assumption.
Well, for this debate, yeah.
For this debate, Bigfoot exists. If he does... He or she has probably already killed people. No one has actually seen Bigfoot yet. No one has actually like met Bigfoot or proved. And just because Bigfoot kills someone doesn't mean that suddenly he's discovered. Every missing person doesn't get found, especially someone like Bigfoot who to date has yet to be like actually tethered to the real world. No person can actually say, I saw Bigfoot, I know where they are. You're saying that just because someone is killed in his hand that we're going to discover where he lives and what he's... That's absurd.
Yeah.
The chances are much greater, again, in the world where Bigfoot is real, where someone goes out into the wild, Bigfoot
slays
them.
You die anonymously.
You die just like every other sad sack who came and got and left before him.
Even that would be thrilling because you'd be like, in your last moments of life,
Tell that to the family of this
person.
Here's
what's going to happen in your last moments of life.
He had a great thrill. Tell this to the family of Grizzly Man. Oh, right before he died, you should have seen the adrenaline running through his body. Right before the bear slashed his enormous talon paws through his jugular.
Grizzly Man knew that there were grizzlies. He'd been living with them for years. In your last moments of life, what's going to happen is you're going to be in the hospital on a morphine drip.
I'm not saying that's worth it either.
Then you're going to die. Now, first person to get killed by Bigfoot, what's going to happen is they're going to be like, holy shit, Bigfoot's real! And then they're going to get killed by Bigfoot.
There's your problem. The first person to get killed by Bigfoot, you don't know that, again, if we're assuming that Bigfoot is real, you keep saying that this hypothetical person is going to be the first person. I say that you're making a leap on there.
How many people do you think have been killed by Bigfoot?
If Bigfoot is real, I think he's killed a few dozen people, but I think that the better chance is that Bigfoot isn't real and that he's killed zero people. But I also think that even a world where you gain some lifelong anonymity for being killed by Bigfoot, which I don't think is what would happen, is not worth it because you end up being, you go down in history as a loser. You go down as the guy who died.
Not at all. People were talking about Dave King, the guy who got killed by Bigfoot.
Yeah, well,
how about this podcast called Great Debates?
Which would you rather?
He wrote Parks and Rec, and then he got killed by Bigfoot.
How about the guy who captured Bigfoot?
You know what? Then you'd have a Wikipedia page. The debate isn't the guy who captured
Hitler
Bigfoot.
Has a Wikipedia page. It doesn't mean that it was worth it to be him.
Hey, that guy had some thrills in his life.
Did the timer go off? Okay. I'm sorry. Now, let's not gloss over something here. You said at the end there that Adolf Hitler had some thrills.
Yeah, let's leave that in the debate. I was fighting a tough battle there. What do you think, Medina?
I thought that the argument, which is that this is one of the ways to ensure that you live forever, was going to hold, and maybe it did.
Yeah, I sort of assumed it was like...
I was pretty much convinced by that.
It would be worth it to be like known as the first person killed by Bigfoot.
But then Dave kind of found a way to take it apart. I was wondering if he was going to get there.
That's huge. Dave dismantle technique.
Which was effective, I thought, that, if you just die in the woods, and you're another guy that's died in the woods?
You know, I've been watching a lot of judo. And I've been trying.
What?
Yes. Oh. And I'm trying to use this is a lie. I've been trying to take what I've seen in judo and use that here in my debating. So I will take your greatest strength and use it against you.
It would be very off-brand if you were suddenly watching a lot of judo.
Yeah. Oh, that was a hot topic we had. Wasn't it? Did you want to talk about this?
Well, let's introduce our guest.
We have a great guest in the studio. We should get to
guys.
That
we
first.
Have a guest in the studio, Matt Warburton.
Oh, it's great to hear.
Hi, everybody.
Warburton,
thrilled to be here.
We're so psyched to have you. Warburton is a showrunner on the Mindy Project and worked on The Simpsons and Community, and is one of the funniest, smartest dudes we know.
A big debate fan.
Oh, I love it.
Absolutely
fan of the show.
Any thoughts?
Long time, first time. Yeah. As they say.
Any thoughts on our first debate there?
I kind of would maybe give it to Dave for the very reason that I feel like lots of people, if Bigfoot exists, have been murdered by him. Yeah. And the skeptical sheriff sees it and is like, oh, another mountain lion slaying. One cryptozoologist guy has his theories and he's crazy and no one will ever believe him. So, if it were baked into the topic, I would maybe feel differently. But I think, you're dying for nothing. And it's just going to be a sad...
Well, your name is at least known by the cryptozoologists that keep track of suspicious deaths in the Great North Woods.
Yeah, another post-it note on his crazy wall. You know? I mean, not for me.
That's more than most people get.
No,
not worth it.
But then again, the split second of like, oh shit,
Bigfoot! But yeah,
that definitely is the best part, that 1 second.
But what if Bigfoot just, isn't there a good chance that you're just like going for a stroll in the woods and you get... Your head just gets chopped off from behind, and you don't even know it was Bigfoot.
Hey, a lot of people aren't going to get that merciful to death.
Well, what is worth it then?
If we're just I think you're lucky if he just kills you, frankly.
Yeah, that's another great point.
What if Bigfoot keeps you in his cave as like a sex slave for years? Would that be worth it?
What? I don't think so.
I'm going to go with no.
I think no as well.
Hold on a second. I mean, like, is he? Can you talk?
He's very tender.
Does he speak English?
He can simple words.
Do you simple words, okay? And do you learn to derive any pleasure from the sex?
You have to. It's your best strategy.
I think then I could see. I don't know if worth it is the phrase I'd use, but there are worse fates in life.
Are we into host chat?
Yeah. Sounds like we're deep into it.
Hey guys, what did Rihanna say?
Oh boy,
about her waitress at the Oaxacan restaurant.
Can you give us, is this like...
I think Warbs is going to get it.
Okay. What did Rihanna say to the waitress?
Well, about her waitress walked away.
Uh-huh. And then her waitress walked away at the Oaxacan restaurant.
Her waitress, Rihanna, said this at the Oaxacan restaurant.
Okay.
This is dead air here.
I'm assuming it's a play on the word mole.
Yeah, bitch better have my mole.
Oh, okay. I like it.
Right. Okay,
fine. We got a slew of topics on our Twitter feed.
That move right there, by the way, is the Healy. It's when a joke has come and gone and Healy acts as if it was either perfect or it doesn't matter and you just, without any segue, move
I
on.
Act
and
like I love what it was, respect. Which is nothing.
Yes. Sorry, go ahead.
You know, you try these things out and whatever. All of a sudden, our Twitter feed this week blew up with people from, their hashtag is BYU Ad.
Lab.
Ad Lab. BYU Ad Lab. And they suddenly started flooding our Twitter feed with topics.
Hello, BYU Ad Lab.
Which is great. But I don't know. I wonder why they had this flash mob of coming to us. I'm grateful for it. But I'm kind of curious about it.
Someone, maybe just email us and explain what's going on at the Ad Lab.
Well, a lot of them were great topics, and I hope we get to some of them, but I thought I'd just throw some out there. These are sort of like honorable mention topics. We're not going to get to this week, but thanks for sending them in. Andres Bosque sends in, who's the greatest Mike? Tyson, Jackson, or Jordan?
Mm.
I know Dave has strong feelings about that one.
Do you?
I do?
Yeah.
What do I feel?
You don't like Mike Tyson.
Mm-hmm. Who does?
Well, on moral grounds, I think it's hard to defend him.
Jackson, you're going to go with Jordan.
Michael Jordan. Well, they're all probably terrible men. It's actually interesting. Also, do people understand the debate format? Like, we get a lot of topics, and God, it's great that people want to be engaged.
Yes.
But we can't.
We're going to encourage engagement.
Yeah, clear pro-con.
Thank you.
We usually work in the form of a statement.
Yeah.
So here's another top. Ryan Jolly sends this one in. BYU Ad Lab wants to know who you'd rather have help change a flat tire, DJ Khaled or Steve Avery? the guy from Making of a Murderer.
Right. Wow. Well, to reformulate that, yeah, into the, we would say, would be sort of DJ Khaled would be a good person to help you change a tire,
right? Right, he'd be better than David. You'd rather have your tire changed by DJ Khaled than Steve Avery.
Or that's a great topic. Great topic. I mean, obviously, very Stephen hot. Avery knows his way around a car. Is he going to
be as entertaining?
Recent interesting theory about Stephen Avery. Did you guys read that the serial killer Ed Edwards was the guy who killed, what's her name? Teresa Halbach.
I like this theory.
Something to look into.
Ali Nimmo sends in one. Who would win in a fight, T-Swift or Adele? Right. Again, we'd probably phrase that as Taylor Swift could beat Adele in a fight.
Yes.
I think that's a good one.
That's really good.
It's clear that Adele would win.
You think
she's,
so?
Taylor Swift has those sharp nails. She has those pointed fingernails. She's like a great Wolverine. Shape,
but she's tiny and...
She's tall.
Tall. Taylor Swift good reach.
Oh, good reach, I guess. But I can just imagine Adele like a, you know, tackling, wrestling... Pummeling
Taylor Swift strength. Like, she grew up in fairly. Didn't she grow up in a Christmas tree farm or some kind of ridiculous pampered background? Adele is like kind of from the streets.
But Taylor Swift is more famously vindictive.
That's interesting.
Anger.
Do you think Taylor Swift can like swing an axe?
No.
Can she shoot a gun?
Maybe for like a photo shoot.
I tell you what, they're fighting it out on the charts. That's nothing. Sorry.
Hey, should we try a debate?
Yeah,
with our guests. Let's go there.
But thanks to the Ad Lab.
What score would you give that host chat out of 100?
Six.
Oh, out of 100?
Out of 100?
Yeah.
Eight.
Oh, okay.
That was fun.
So, Matt, today on The Great Debates, I'm going to have you face off against both Steve and Dave in their traditional roles. In the first debate, I'm going to have Healy take the pro, and you're going to take the con. And the topic that we're going to do for 5 minutes, get my timer going here. Healy, are you ready?
Yes.
It's better to be a wizard than a knight.
Steve Healy taking the pro, and I'm pro wizard. If we're in the world of fantasy and there's elves and knights and wizard and whatever, the guy you want to be is the wizard. The wizard isn't the sexiest, maybe, but he lives the longest. He has the ability to heal and create potions. His possibilities are basically endless. Like the only limit on the wizard's abilities is knowledge and what wizard books he has access to, what wizard spells he knows, and what wizard ingredients he has, which he can all work to improve. But the knight is basically like, he's a short-lived, sexy kind of guy, but then he's going to get his head chopped off in a battle or whatever. His horse dies. He's basically useless. He loses his armor. He loses his sword. He's fucked. He's not as versatile. He's not as long-lived. He's not as helpful as the knight. The knight is, wizard, rather. The knight is basically a one-use guy, short-lived, burst of glory. He's out of there. The wizard is a great, enduring role that lasts forever. I'd rather be a wizard than a knight.
This is Matt taking the con. It seems very clear to me that it's better to be a knight. This is a classic nerds versus jocks conversation here. And your choice is to be a hot young guy whose job is to save princesses, presumably immediately get laid. That's your life, okay? Let's paint a picture of what a wizard is like. It's an old man who is a pharmacist, basically, right? A person who makes potions. So he's already old, long beard. Name a couple. You've got Gandalf, Ian McKellen, Dumbledore, closeted gay wizard. They're lonely people. This is a world that's not friendly to... you've never seen a married wizard, for example. I defy you to describe one. It's an unhappy life. At best, you're sort of... When there's a melee, you're off in the distance, maybe throwing a healing potion to a knight. You don't get any of the glory. It's... The last person I would want to be in the world of fantasy.
Would you rather be an elf than a wizard?
Yeah. Elves live forever. And they have that kind of like David Bowie
Well, it's a little spooky because they're not really human. Right. But wizards, like, okay, the wizards I see...
Well, you're assuming a knight is going to die, right?
Here's what I see when I look at fantasy worlds. I see the knight is always angry, he's pissed off, he's surly.
Dashing,
the wizards,
handsome,
like Gandalf,
heroic.
They're chill, they're having like a zen peace with themselves,
live
they're
in a
calm.
Cave.
Do you think Dumbledore is happy? Of course he is. Dumbledore's cheerful, he's got a steady, even-keeled demeanor.
A secondary school administrator... is what Dumbledore
is. Hey, he's a life of fulfillment. Most,
yeah, oh, he's great.
And satisfaction. Every year a new batch of students comes in. He's got the, he looks forward to the, I don't know enough about Harry Potter, but I assume they have like Christmas feast or whatever.
They do. That part's good. Yeah.
And he gets to watch the Quidditch and he's respected and is, he seems like a comfortable guy who, like, we should all be so lucky as to have a life like Dumbledore.
I'm sure if you look around, there's an empty chair in that hallway that's in the hall where they have food that's reserved for the night. He's railing chicks somewhere else. Because going to a Christmas feast with Dumbledore and his roast goose.
I mean, a wizard. Okay, fine. You're talking about railing chicks. A wizard can just cast a spell of like chicks to rail on any princess he wants.
He's 800 years old. First thing he has to say, like, you know, Viagrioso or whatever, even to get it up. And also, it's like none of it's him. It's like he has, you know. Everything's a powder or something. You know, like a knight has his own strength and his honor.
A
wizard's not a trustworthy character.
There's no honor like a wizard's honor.
Going around
like
in a
Gandalf
robe.
Has the most honor.
He doesn't
even
put clothes on when he wakes up. We're wearing a robe everywhere.
The robes are like a great advantage. Would you rather wear like heavy armor or walk around in a wizard's robe and a cool hat? Like everybody knows when the wizard's coming, it's awesome.
But the coolest part is like when you defeat everyone and you take your helmet off and everyone sees how cool you are.
Okay, for every winter knight, there's a loser knight.
The armor's not. Look. That's the bad part, for sure. Wearing the armor. It's heavy. You got me there. But that makes you even... But you have to be so, like, hunky and studly to wear armor because it's heavy and it's hot.
A lot of these knights are getting killed. Like, the casualty rates in those big battles in Lord of the Rings are, like, 50, 60%. Like, those guys are getting decimated. They're getting arms and limbs chopped off. Like, yeah, sure.
You're by another knight, but I'm going to be the good one.
It was great railing chicks until I got my arm chopped off.
Well, let's assume that
now the railing's done.
We're talking about being a good wizard and a good knight.
I go to the wizard to try and get my arm put back on. Even the wizard can't do anything for me. I'm done. The wizard, meanwhile, he's got his cool house full of potions. He's doing neat stuff. Everybody goes and consults him.
Jests. Princesses. Riding horses.
Yes, it's great for...
It's great.
Would you rather be
old man?
You're
cave,
right. It is a jock versus nerd debate.
Full of green
would you
water
rather be a jock or a nerd? Being a jock is great in high school, but for the rest of your life, it's better to be a nerd.
Also, blissful stupidity. Let's say the knight's stupid. He doesn't even know. He doesn't even know what he's missing with that nerd stuff. Mm. He's just going on quests.
What if the wizard casts the spell of knowledge on him?
Let's move to closing statements.
Okay, I think traditionally the pro goes first, right? So I'm going to say, I think I'm winning this argument in a lopsided way. I think the wizard in clothes, in lifestyle, in longevity of life, in options, he's dominating in all those. The knight, it's pretty sexy to be a knight for like a day or two, but after that, it's lame. You'd rather be a wizard if you had to choose one path for your whole life. It's better to be a wizard.
We have ample, this is my closing statement, we have ample opportunity to see when people have a choice to choose between being a knight wizard. Whenever kids or teenagers play Dungeons & Dragons, it's always a fight to be the knight. No one wants to be the wizard. It's boring.
Your kids are dumb.
I never played Dungeons & Dragons because that was cool. That's not true. It's because I didn't have friends and you need more than one person to play it. But I would always rather be the knight. He's cool. I want to be a cool guy that's dumb and doesn't know the pleasures of being a nerd.
Wow. That was strong.
Whew, hot debate. I got to shout out the guy who sent us that topic.
Yeah, that was a good topic.
It was Dave D. Tripham.
Dave Tripham. D. Tripham, thank you so much for that great topic.
Dave, we'll get you a hat if you get us your address. What'd you think, Medina?
You know, before we began the debate, I was certain that it was better to be a wizard because, of course, the powers are, you know, theoretically unlimited and magic is, you know, forced to be reckoned with and you could create anything. But what Warburton did was to remind us that we're dealing with, you know, we're humans within the scope of mortality. Let's enjoy life.
That's right. I thought he was to tripping up your argument.
You know where you could have gotten me? You know, one name you didn't say, which I was glad you didn't say, is Harry Potter. Because he's a wizard that's young. Because I was literally painting a portrait of an old wizard. In our culture,
Harry
there's one
Potter.
Young wizard is Harry
if
Potter.
If I just throw out Harry and Potter, I win the
debate. I'd like to, you know, Harry Potter would be pretty cool to be Harry Potter.
Yes, who wouldn't want to be Harry Potter?
So I think Harry you lose Potter. Because you didn't bring
fair
up
enough.
Harry Potter.
Also, you know, I'm thinking of this now. It's like wizards, we think, knights are boning princesses, probably. There's no way wizards and witches aren't getting together for insane...
Oh, a crone?
Enchanted,
crazy airborne sex.
Yeah, they're all over the place.
You're a wizard, you have sex with a beautiful woman, and then you realize that was
a
spell, and then afterwards... And
what
yeah,
a mess.
She uses the, your stuff primitive for a spell. Reality. It's, you know.
Billy Crystal in Princess Bride plays sort of a married wizard.
Mm. Oh, that's interesting. That's Miracle true. Max, is that
Miracle
his?
Max.
I don't think you'd envy his life no. too much.
Can I ask a follow-up question yeah. about one statement you
of
made, Healy?
Yeah.
At one point you said, everyone knows when the wizard's coming, it's awesome.
Yeah.
What does that mean exactly?
Well, like when Gandalf comes into Hobbit Village, I think uh-huh. they're like, oh, neat. Like, what's this guy going to be all about? The kids gather yeah. around. Like,
oh,
kids,
it's great. Look, like, okay, I see. Yeah. I
look,
see.
Look at my foot. It's weird. Like, I have a mole.
Yeah, you get satisfaction from helping people.
That's true.
Okay, well, that was great. I think we're ready to bring Dave in.
I got to admit, I'm nervous. I mean,
we're like a formidable opponent.
Our guest debates, if they prove anything, it's that they're far better debaters out there than you and me, which is great.
You guys know each other. It's a wild card. You know, each other's
that's true.
Habits,
each other's moves.
It's weak spots.
It's the Globetrotters in generals. Every night after night, obviously, you know which one you are. Go ahead, Medina.
Okay, so Matt, you're going to take the pro on this topic, and then after 5 minutes, you're going to begin. And after five okay. minutes, I'll ask for closing statements, and you'll go first. Okay. So the topic up for debate is the movie Crash deserved to win Best Picture.
Yeah. So the movie Crash, directed and written by Paul Haggis, 2004. Was a little controversial because it was a big year for movies and it won Best Picture. It clearly deserved to win. This is a movie that came from nowhere that I think it was released on a couple screens in February and built and built and built because people loved it, because it moved them. It was a magical movie that built until it won Best Picture. And yeah, it defeated some good movies. I'm assuming that Dave is about to mention the movie Brokeback Mountain. Yeah, a good movie. Kind of Oscar bait, let's say. You know, an issue movie. What about a movie that takes on every issue in the world? And this is 2004, all right? We're about to go into the second term of George W. Bush. A movie comes along changing minds on the issue of, oh, I don't know, race, maybe an issue that's even more important in our country than gay cowboys. And yeah, it you know, it's a Big Tent. Big Tent type of things aren't that aren't popular in cool cocktail society. You know, Big Bang Theory, number one show, it deserves to be. And Crash deserves to be Best Picture 2005.
I mean, I think you said it yourself. What about a movie that takes on every issue? Mm-hmm. Well, that's the problem right there. I mean, that sounds terrible. It was a jumbled mess. I mean, I didn't dislike it as much as other people did. Let's just go through the actual data of the other movies that it beat out. You have Brokeback Mountain. I would have given it to Brokeback that year. Capote, Good Night and Good Luck, Munich. I haven't seen Munich. Those were all better movies to me than Crash. The problem with Crash, I mean, let's boil it down to just Brokeback and Crash if you want. I can remember so much more viscerally, image-wise, and even just lines from the movie, the performances from Brokeback than I can from Crash. We got to know the characters in Crash. We got to know the places where they lived. Beautiful cinematography, incredible lines. I wish I knew how to quit you, of course, or something like that. Just the way that Heath Ledger smells the guy's shirt at the end of the movie. I mean, leaves me with such a strong feeling. I can't remember one subplot or one of the... I mean, that's the problem with me of these movies that tries to do everything, is that it doesn't live long enough in one story to actually sell me on anything. What did it say about race? That we're all a little racist? All right. I mean, I feel like I kind of knew that already. And if Brokeback Mountain is Oscar bait, then Crash is Oscar catnip. It's about rich people in L.A. learning that they're, you know, bigger dicks than they thought they were.
Look, you mentioned L.A. It's also a great L.A. movie. You know, the sort of central metaphor of the movie is a car crash and how in L.A. that's the only time Angelinos like us ever really communicate, right? Is when our cars crash into each other. We have to get out of our shell and talk to each other. That's just true. I don't feel anything except when my car crashes. It's just true.
Is that true?
Yeah, it doesn't happen that often, but it's, you know, I don't talk to people otherwise. Let's go back to the subject of race. 2004.
On my phone, Katrina had just happened.
A movie needed to come along that focused the Oscars, which has a little troubled history race-wise, let's say, even today.
No, that's a fair movie
that brought race up front and center. 4 years later, George W. Bush had just been elected.
But there were very good movies about Katrina.
We had that movie 4 years later. We had a black president.
There were good movies about Katrina. There were good movies about race. But as you said, Crash is trying to do
all things at the right time.
It's not about race. It's about classism. Yeah. It's about...
You know, I also say it was good for Brokeback Mountain to lose. Because it galvanized the discussion on gays. I'm going to give Crash credit for legalizing gay marriage. In addition to electing George W. Bush.
So
I think it deserves both.
That because it won...
It was a cruise missile... sent right to Red America. Four years later.
So explain that analogy. You're saying that that by Brokeback losing...
Yeah.
What was the
cruise people missile? Were outraged. They're outraged.
Okay.
A gay movie can't win Oscar. We can't get married. All this stuff. Let's get mad. You know, thank you, Crash. Everyone was thinking, presumably at the time.
These things may or may not be true. I don't think they have, they're certainly interesting points. Whether or not they convince me that Crash deserved to win Best Picture, I guess you could make an argument that it deserved to, in part because it was good for the country that in the long run, gay marriage, the fight for gay marriage was helped by Brokeback Mountain losing. It seems like a very circuitous argument, though. I would say. If you have to look at the movies themselves as movies, and if I recall, did Ang Lee win for Best Director that year? Does anyone know? I feel like people knew that Brokeback was amazing. Healy, do you remember?
Yeah, Ang Lee won, right?
Yeah, he won. I mean, how it just isn't. It didn't really make sense that a movie like I don't know. It never makes sense to me when Best Director. That's a separate issue. So,
let's move to closing statements.
Let's absolutely move to closing
statements. So, Worthing, please.
Yeah, you know, Oscars, I think we can all agree, Oscars usually aren't awarded completely on artistic merit. It doesn't go to the fanciest movie, the most sort of artistically perfect movie. It's sort of clocking a sign of the times. It's a sign of the times. You look back and you say, okay, that was the perfect movie to win in 1968. The Graduate. Well, what a great movie, but also a great movie of its time. And Crash, mid-2000s, America needed the movie, even if it wasn't perfect, even if Paul Haggis was not as good a director as Ang Lee. And it put a focus on something that needed to be put a focus on right then, right time, the right movie, the right time. 2004, Crash.
It's not really the history of Best Picture winners in the Oscars. There's nothing about the artist that made it stand out in whatever year that was. 2011. That was. I can't even tell you what, or that The Lord of the Rings when that won. That has nothing to do with the time and place that it came out in. Same for Titanic. There's nothing very 1997-y about or whenever that came out about the movie Titanic. Crash is an inferior movie to Brokeback Mountain. That's the end of my closing statement.
Yeah. I hate the movie Crash. It was hard to defend.
No,
it's a really bad
movie. I think you had an uphill battle there.
You did a great job arguing on its behalf.
Whew. But yeah, I mean, Dave, I think you did a good job.
Yeah, you had the better.
Well, I had the easier argument to make. That's kind of true.
I don't know. What am I going to do?
We got to give a shout to listener Sarah Gorman, who sent us that topic.
Sarah, thank you so much.
That's great.
Did anybody read the story Brokeback Mountain in The New Yorker in 1997?
Yes.
It's by Larry McMurtry, right? Or something like
Annie,
that?
Annie Proulx.
Annie Proulx, okay.
I was at my grandmother's house on like a weekday afternoon in the summer of 97. You know, I had been a sophomore in college, and I picked up The New Yorker and started reading the story about cowboys. And like I'm paging through, and my mom's in the other, and then all of a sudden they're fucking. It's like, whoa,
what's going on?
I do wish that it was possible to watch that movie with the same experience because you knew it were many jokes. Mm. It's the gay cowboy movie. You knew going into it that they were going to end up
This really makes me want to see it. Just, that movie's great. You forget how good the women were.
Yeah, so good.
Hathaway, one of her best performances.
They're great. Yeah. I have a good one about. I went and saw a screening of Brokeback Mountain before it came out, and Larry McMurtry, the screenwriter, and Diana Oceana, the other screenwriter producer, were there, and somebody referred to the movie as a gay cowboy movie, and Larry McMurtry goes, "Everybody keeps calling it a gay cowboy movie. They're not cowboys. They're itinerant ranch hands."
That's the part he objected to.
They're gay itinerant ranch hands.
Because they weren't cowboys. They were like shepherds.
Right. No, it's a good point. Great point.
Thank you.
Well done.
I love the movie. It's great.
Healy, what did you think?
I thought that Warburton made a very strong case for a very, very weak film. During the debate, I looked it up, and Roger Ebert did declare Crash the best movie that year. He was into it.
Well,
Ebert is a man of people.
Also, Crash was made for only $6.5 million.
So
that's low, basically a low-budget movie.
This was peak Paul Haggis Scientology days. I wonder if you go back if there's any
secret Scientology subtext.
Messages. Interesting, we should ask him. Don Cheadle, one of the producers on the movie as well.
Cheadle Mania.
A lot of producers on that movie. Huge battle for who got to stand at the podium.
Oh, that's right.
Remember that?
Yeah.
What was his name? Bob Yari.
Wow. Oh, were they pushing each other up there on the stage?
No, just beforehand.
Yeah. The other movie crashed.
And then all the Hollywood people were like, "You're a real estate guy. Yeah. You don't deserve to be here. You take your money and get the fuck out of town." It was really gross.
Because you're so dumb.
Stupid.
Everything's dumb.
Everything's really dumb. Great Debates is great, though. Hey, Matt Warburton, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me. Really, pleasure. Appreciate it. Thank you.
It was a thrill. You were fantastic. And as always, thanks to our listeners. Thanks to the folks who submitted tops. Guys, write to us, tweet at us, comment at us on Instagram. We're @GreatDebate69 everywhere, and GreatDebate69@gmail.com. We'd love to hear from you. Tell us what you like. Tell us what you don't like. Follow us on Facebook. Okay.
Are we on Facebook?
Friend us on Facebook. We're on Facebook now. Friend us on Facebook.
Yeah, if you want to, follow us.
Great times. We'll see you all next week.